Go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. You know, every time I think about the wise men, I think about this cartoon I saw where it had, if they were from Brooklyn, they would be the wise guys. But we'll stick with the wise men tonight as the story is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 2. You know, we know the story. Know the story of how they came from the east, seeking Jesus, seeking the King of the Jews that had been born, that followed the light. They spoke to Herod in regard to this, and of course Herod, being the paranoid man that he was, immediately became paranoid and sought the baby himself, but not for the reason that the wise men wanted. They wanted to worship. Herod wanted to kill him. Caesar once said of Herod that it was better to be one of his pigs than one of his sons because of the number of sons that he had killed out of his paranoia. So they find Jesus, of course, and present him with those gifts and then leave in another direction as warned by God. We know the story well. We've heard it since we were small children. We need to understand that there's not necessarily three of them. I always like that, the three wise men. It's most likely when we think about it, they're probably out of an order of wise men, which probably meant there was a lot of them and not just three. But people draw that assumption from the fact that there was three gifts. You know, you got to have one man carrying each gift, right? And so that made it three. Don't know. And, at the end of the day, it's really not that terribly important. It's one of those kind of things we kind of have fun with this time of year. You know, another thing we have to remember, too, is that this does not take place on the night that Jesus is born. This is actually about a year later from the time that Jesus was born. So all of our nativity scenes that we see at the Christmas time are a little bit off. The shepherds were there that night, but the wise men were not. That is a little bit something that for some reason over the years has never really been dealt with or corrected, but is set forth in all of our scenes that we see set up this time of year. Now, when we look at the story of the wise men's visit to Jesus and Mary and Joseph, we see a wisdom. You know, wise men was not just a title that these men had. You know, they went to school and got the term wise men put on their labels. I think the Bible labels them as such because they were such. I think they were wise men. So I want us to examine the wisdom of the wise men as they come to Jesus and see if there's some application for us in our lives. First, we see that these men were told to watch for something by someone, and they listened and they acted upon it. Now, you know, at this point, we really don't have a lot of knowledge why. We know that they do. We know that they are looking for something, that they did see something, and they read the appropriate things into it. And so somewhere along the way, they were educated, at least in regard to something that was going to take place. These men were from the east. And that most likely means, when the Bible talks about from the east, most likely means that they were from the Babylon, Persian area. If we think about where they're from, we think about the history of that, we can go back to Daniel, and we can see in chapter 2 of Daniel that Daniel was the head of all the wise men in Babylon when he was there. And then he would also be a very influential figure of wisdom within the Persian Empire after the Babylonian Empire fell. It is possible, considering all the prophecies by Daniel concerning the time of Jesus Christ, that these men were operating from things that had been passed down that maybe Daniel had said centuries earlier. And they were looking for things that Daniel talked about. We do not need to be under the illusion that the Bible records every single prophecy that God has ever given in history. We have evidence in history that there are things that people said that were coming true that may not have been recorded within the Scriptures, but was certainly still the work of God. Don't you imagine, though, that a man of Daniel's abilities and how he demonstrated those abilities, don't you think that if you're kind of the wise man area of, you know, the guys that gave advice to leaders and stuff, don't you think he was kind of the superstar when you look at what he did and how he functioned for all those years and the things that he did in regard to the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire? If you're from that area, it's most likely you've heard of him. It's most likely that you have some idea of who he is. You know, even when we look at the gifts that they bring, we see that they had very accurate knowledge in regard to who Jesus was. and who Jesus was, what Jesus was going to do, what he was going to be. The gifts had, you know, a purpose, and they had a purpose that showed knowledge. And so they had gotten that knowledge somewhere. They gotten the idea of what they needed to bring from somewhere, and we're just not really certain where that is. But if that is true, these men and others from their order, if it is Daniel that they're basing their decision here to follow this star, if it is from Daniel, you realize that these men then, if that is true, have been waiting 500 years for this. I mean, when you look in Daniel chapter 9 and you see the 70 weeks prophecy, that Daniel is making prophecies in regard to the birth of Christ, the baptism of Christ, the death of Christ, all to the year. Not in the general decade or, you know, sometime in this area. He is giving the exact year that these things take place. And so it's an amazing thing when you see the accuracy of those prophecies and whether or not those remained around amongst the wise men of that area, we do not know, but it may have had something to do with it. Well, even if it wasn't Daniel, the fact of the matter was this, that these men knew that they were looking for the king of the Jews, right? The one born to be king of the Jews. Now, they knew that. Now, how they knew that or where they came up with that or how that came into their minds, we do not know. Somebody told them what to look for, right? Look for a star. There was a star. They had a reason to follow it. They did. Now, we understand this star was supernatural, right? It wasn't a comet. It wasn't because comets move through, you know, they would have moved through the sky over the course of the travel that they would have went. It's not a meteor. That would have went across the sky really fast, and they wouldn't have had time to find anything. And, you know, I mean, it just, this star leads them to a specific building, too. So, you know, there's something unique about what's going on. Certainly it's miraculous. It's certainly the hand of God that they are following. But someone told them to look for that. Also told them what to look for, a baby. Not just any baby. The king of the Jews. And so, you know, so that they, and they said that they wanted to worship him in verse 2 here in Matthew chapter 2. Well, it would have been easy to consider such a trip as too difficult. I mean, for these men to go, really? Just to go see a baby? I mean, this is no short trip. This is weeks to walk or ride. You know, and I don't think camels are terribly comfortable at the end of the day. But, you know, to go all that way, that's a long way to go just to see a baby, right? It's a long way to go to just pay homage to a child. And yet these men do that. And so it says something, you know, and if the Daniel thing is true, you know, there would have been the temptation, right, to say, man, it's been 500 years, really? You really think this is the case? You really think that guy 500 years ago really knew what he was talking about? I mean, there's a lot of temptations here not to act on whatever information that they had. But they didn't do that. They acted on the information they had, wherever that information may come from, and they went to great lengths to see Jesus. Now, for us today, we take the wisdom that we see in these men, and we have information. We have prophecies given to us in God's Word, given to us in the Bible. We have those things given to us, and some of those things are thousands of years old, right? Yeah, we have those things, and we can be wise as well. May we be wise by knowing and acting upon those things that we have, that God has given to us. May we also be wise enough to go to great lengths to see that we serve and that we find Jesus Christ and that we set our lives on a path to one day see Him in heaven and be able to worship Him around the throne of God. Second, we see that the wise men were wise and that they recognized Jesus as a king. Not just in the statement, we've come to see the king of the Jews, but in the gift that they give. They were looking for one born to be king of the Jews, verse 2, but they brought the gift of gold. Now, the gift of gold is that gift that is for our king. And so they give a gift that they recognize to someone as a king. And so this is no cheap gift. This is no gag gift. This is not something you get at the $5 store. This was gold. It's valuable. As valuable then as it was, as it is today. And so they bring that and they give that. Well, the Bible certainly teaches us that Jesus Christ is a king. Paul in his second doxology, and I say second because 1 Timothy, it seems like Paul ever so often, he thinks about Jesus Christ and he just goes into this long statement about who he is and how great he is and how wonderful he is. And in the second one of those, first one in chapter 1 and then in chapter 6, in verses 15 through 16 of 1 Timothy, he says, "He who is the blessed and only sovereign, Jesus Christ is the only one with sovereign power. Sovereignty is power that derives from within you. Jesus Christ is the only one whose power comes from Him." Government, the United States, we say we're a sovereign nation. No, we're not. We have derived our power from God who ordained us as a nation. We are not sovereign. Jesus is the only sovereign. He says, "Only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to Him be honor and eternal dominion." Amen. So He is King of kings, Lord of lords. We are in the Lord's kingdom. And for us to be in a kingdom tonight, there must be a king. The kingdom has a king, and the king is Jesus Christ. The wise men recognized the authority of Jesus even as a baby, and they paid homage to His authority. They worshiped Him, and that was wise. For us today, we must be wise and recognize His authority. We must submit ourselves to His rule in all things. We must see Him as king. We must see Him as Lord. We must see Him as sovereign. And us too, bow and worship and submit our lives to Him completely. Now, that's what we must do. See, people love salvation. They love that God will save me. They love that God wants to take me to heaven. They love that God loves me. But they get a little bit leery when they have to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and King. Because that means I don't get to decide. Oh, we in the United States, we got the right. It's my right to do whatever I want. No, it's not. It's your right to submit to the King. He tells you what to do. He tells you how to live if you want to be in His kingdom. Kingdom of heaven. You know, when Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come," in the model prayer, it is not just that He was waiting for the kingdom to come in Acts chapter 2. He was talking about your kingdom come in the hearts of man, that they will take on me as king and be in my kingdom, that my kingdom comes to them by their decision to submit themselves to my life, that my will be done here on earth as it is done in heaven. So that is wise, just as the wise men were that night when they acknowledged Him as king. Third, they recognized, and it was wise that they recognized Jesus Christ as a priest. The gift of frankincense was a gift that was given to priests. Now, why they gave this or how they knew this was appropriate, like I said, it's really unknown at the end of the day. I mean, we know they were looking for the King of the Jews. They don't necessarily speak anything in regard to priesthood, but they give a gift that you would give to a priest. You know, I do not believe by any stretch of the imagination that what these men are giving on this particular evening has anything to do with an accident. I don't believe it's just by chance. I don't believe God operates like that. God doesn't operate by chance. God is a determined operator. He works with purpose. And I believe these men gave exactly what He wanted them to give. And how they knew what to give, like I said, we don't know. But they give a gift here that you would give to a priest. Now, they could have learned that he would be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Not from Hebrews, because that hadn't been written yet, right? But you could learn that from Psalm 110 and verse 4. And you know, I don't, you know, being wise men, they sought to learn all kinds of things. They may have learned some of these things from the Old Testament. They may have learned from the Hebrew, the Hebrew Bible. And so we do not know. Maybe that is passed down from Daniel as well as a part of his teachings as a wise man there in the East. Well, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 certainly affirms what they do here. It makes it clear that Jesus Christ is our high priest, that He stands on our behalf before God. He is that one that makes intercession for us. He mediates on our behalf. That's what a priest does. You know, in the Old Testament, you went to the temple, right? And the priest made intercession on your behalf. He offered the sacrifice. He went before God. He went into the Holy of Holies, right? That one time of year on behalf of the people. That's what He does. And in this particular case, here is Jesus Christ. He is now the high priest. And He is the one that is on our behalf. And we know that it's of a different law. In that same section of Hebrews, we see that it couldn't have been of the old law because Jesus couldn't be a priest in the old law because He was from the tribe of Judah. But in the new covenant, Jesus Christ is our high priest and does function between us and God. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." See, that puts him in between us and God, and no other way to get there except through him and through his priesthood. And so these wise men, they set that forth for us. So we would be wise to recognize the singular high priesthood of Jesus Christ in between us and the Father in heaven. Fourth thing, they recognized Jesus as the one who would die. The gift of myrrh. This is an oddity here. I mean, you know, you can give frankincense to a baby. You could give gold to a baby. But myrrh might not be one that parents are very comfortable with getting for a baby. The gift of myrrh was a gift given to prepare one for death. You know, this would be a similar act to the expensive pure nard perfume in John chapter 12 that Mary poured on the feet of Jesus just 6 days before he would die. She poured it on his feet. Remember, she wiped his feet with her hair, being Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And you know, we see that. She was preparing him, anointing him for death. And Jesus even acknowledges that being the case. And so she used this very expensive perfume. Well, that's exactly what myrrh would have acted for as well. Again, this was an odd gift. It was an odd gift for a baby. It may indicate a greater understanding of Christ's purpose than sometimes we give these wise men credit for. You know, I think we just see them as a part of the story, and maybe we fail to see that these men had some real wisdom, that they understood some things about this situation that, you know, we kind of let slide by at times. You know, we need to be wise and keep the death of Christ in our minds and offer him gifts worthy of that sacrifice. Paul pleads with the Ephesians and the Colossians to walk worthy of what Jesus Christ has done. You know, somebody says, well, Nathan, I can never do anything worthy. Yes, you can. You can walk in a worthy manner. Worthy of what's been done for you. That's walking as he would have you to walk. That's walking worthy. That means that his death is doing something for you. It's not in vain. Now, if I don't live as Christ would have me to live, I'm wasting his death, right? That's certainly unworthy. That is unworthy. Paul says you can walk worthy. Walk his way. And that's the worthy way. Looking at his death, walking in accordance with it. The wise men foretold of his death, and while they look to it in the future, we remember it. Remember it every first day of the week as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We remember as well when we partake of that I caused his death. I caused him to die. And I need to respond to that in a proper way. It is wise to never forget what Jesus did on the cross to save each and every one of us tonight. Fifth, the wise men listened to God rather than men. Herod had told them to come back. Come back and tell me where the child is so I can come and worship him too, right? Yeah, that's a big old lie. You know, come back. You come and you tell me. Now, we need to put ourselves in a proper historical frame of mind in that when kings tell you to do things, it's not really something you should disregard. You know, they didn't take that well, especially someone as bonkers, and I don't know a better word than Herod. Herod was crazy. I mean, he's going to slaughter babies right and left in just a very short period of time, isn't he? I mean, this guy has no problem killing people that he doesn't like. And so, you know, he is an evil man. But he told them to come back and tell him where the child is. Verse 12, though, we see that the wise men were warned by God. Okay? So God speaks to these men. He warns them. They receive a warning from God, by God, to not go back that way and to, in fact, go home a different way. And they do that. They listen to what God has said and they return home a different way. I'm sure that there might have been a thought in their mind at some point along the way, this could get us in trouble. It's going to take us a little bit to get out of Herod's land. And, you know, until we get, say, past Damascus, we're still going to be in the Roman Empire, an empire that Herod is a part of. And once they get over into past that area, they leave the Roman Empire, but you could still find yourself in trouble if Herod wanted you and if he became angry with you. So, you know, that had to be something that at least entered their mind. But they listened to God and not to men, right? Herod said, you come back. God said, don't, and they didn't. And so there is great wisdom in that, to listen to God instead of men. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter stood before the Sanhedrin, and they said, you've got to stop talking about this Jesus. Now, the first time they stood in Acts chapter 4, before there, they said, you be the judge, right? Whether we should listen to God or whether we should listen to you, you tell us. Well, that answer's pretty obvious, and for them to say you need to listen to us instead of God would have been really bad, so they didn't really want to answer that question. But in this particular case, in chapter 5, verse 29, Peter doesn't mince any words. We must obey God rather than men. I mean, just no uncertainty with what he says there. And so, you know, Peter sets forth the very thing that we see the wise men do in their life here. Men try to influence the people of God, and they still do it today. We can look in the Bible and we can see man's influence on God's people. Say with Israel at the time of Samuel when they wanted a king. Give us a king like what? The other nations. See, somebody out there saying this is what a nation should have, right? Should have a king like all the rest of us. You need to have a king. And so, hey, we want a king like the other nations. You know, if you go forward into Christianity, there came a point where they tried to make a compromise with Christianity. And so it was that if you would give a pinch of incense to Caesar, right, you can practice your Christianity. You can practice any religion just as long as you give a little pinch of incense to Caesar. Well, that's still offering worship to Caesar. And of course, Christians weren't going to do that. They listened to God rather than men, even though men said, is it really that big a deal? Come on, it's just a little pinch of incense. What's the big deal? Well, there is a big deal, isn't there? There was a big deal in the book of Daniel to eat from the king's table. There was a big deal in Daniel to worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar raised up, right? Those were all big deals, even though the world might not see it that way. You know, we come to today, people would tell us evolution is true and Genesis is a myth and that science knows better than God or His Word. They would tell us that divorce and remarriage really shouldn't be a big deal. And yet it is. Because God says it is. Because it is an institution set forth by God, and to flippantly destroy it is to destroy the handiwork of God. What He has joined together, we are not to be putting asunder. You know, people will say, what is the big deal about women's roles? I was listening to the radio. When I get kind of tired driving, okay, I'm driving these 14, 15-hour drives to Mississippi and back, I'll turn over to the preaching channels, right? In the 90s and 80s. And I don't know, I just get stirred up. It gets me awake, right? Oh, they were talking about women's role, and this woman was going, I've got ability. God gave me this ability, and He's given me all this, and I should be able to use it. God may have given her an ability, but He didn't give her the right to exercise it in worship. That's just all there is to it. There's a lot of abilities you and I have today that we don't have a right to exercise in this room right now. I went to church, the place where Colt McCoy was at, and he could throw a football really good, but that's not what we needed to do during worship service, right? When I pressed the point hard, he threw me the ball and I throw it back, right? Because he's got a talent. He should be able to use it. Well, that's great. And I think there are women, there's a lot of women out there that can speak better than I can. That's for sure and certain. It has nothing to do with me being better than any woman or better than anybody else. It is what God has set forth. And so, you know, it's either what God says or what men say. Men say it shouldn't matter. God says it does. So we need to follow the wise men's example. We also think about salvation. Oh, it doesn't really matter just as long as, you know, we're all kind of going the same direction. What does it really matter what we do? Well, it matters because God said what He wants us to do. It's better to obey. It's better to do what God says than what Oprah said when she said, oh, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. She said, millions of people in this world and you're telling me there's only one way? Yes. Yes, I'm telling you that. I'm not really telling you that. God's telling you that. And you can either listen to Him or her. One way's wise, the other way's foolish. Parable of the wise man and the foolish man, what was the difference? The ones that listened to what Jesus said and did it. The other guy was foolish. He heard it, didn't do it, didn't want it. And so, you know, we have to look at it like that. I mean, this list could go on and on tonight. We could talk about morality. We could talk about homosexuality. We could just go and go and go and go. And we could see our society telling us these things are okay, these things are okay. Why are you making such a big deal? And yet it is not us making a big deal. It is God that has made the big deal when he said don't do it. And so, you know, we need to follow. We must be wise men and women and listen to God through his word instead of what men might reason and say in our world today. So tonight, may we be wise. May we be wise by listening to what the Bible what has been said in the Bible and acting upon it, by submitting ourselves to the reign of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, by appealing to Jesus as our high priest, by understanding and knowing and believing with all of our heart that he is the only access that we have to the Father and the only way to heaven, by always living in remembrance of the death of Jesus Christ and that and what it gives us in this spiritual life. May we be wise and listen to God and God only for how to live. Now, Jeremiah made it clear, did he not? It's not within me or you to know how to go, to know where to walk, to know how to live. That's why Paul said, I've been crucified. I'm going through this life, but it's not me anymore. It's Christ who lives in me. He's determining where I go as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and as the one that knows the path. You know, if we do these things, then we will be wise. If we do these things, we will find Jesus and be able to worship him just as the wise men found Jesus and were able to worship him and give him the gifts of our life and our choices, just as the wise men did in Matthew chapter 2. Common story, but I think there's a lot of depth in those men. We don't know a lot about them. We don't even know how many there are, right? But we do know they were wise, and they demonstrated some very wise things for us to place within our lives. This evening, if you have not been wise, if you've been foolish with your life, and that definition is said, as we mentioned a moment ago, in Matthew chapter 7, as a person who maybe you've heard the Word of God, but you're not living it. You're not doing what Christ has said. Maybe you've decided it's just not that important, and for whatever reason you're not living it. Don't be foolish another day. Turn to God. If it is to obey the gospel for the first time, then do that. If it is to repent of sin, do that before God. Know that He's faithful and just to forgive you. If we can assist you this evening with your spiritual needs, we can help you move closer to Jesus Christ. We hope and pray that you will let us. Why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.